But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they were nothing, they knew nothing about until the flood came and swept them all away. So nothing until the flood came. Oh. So, two will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken, and one will be left. Two women will be grinding a meal together, one will be taken, and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known what part of the night the thieves were coming, he would have known to stay awake, and he would have not let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming to an hour you do not expect. Word of God for the people of God.
Well, friends, I'm sad to tell you that you were going to have the extraordinary gift of hearing Pastor Madeline preach today, but unfortunately, her son Luke is sick and they have been in the hospital this weekend. So please keep the Luzinski family in your prayers. He's doing well and they'll be out today. But I want you to know, because of that, Madeline and I kind of constructed this sermon together. So the good parts are probably hers. And the parts that stink, you can give those to me, all right? I want to start today by saying, I know we all have a favorite holiday video, okay? One of my favorite video genres of the holiday season, it doesn't include Santa or cute little babies or even sentimental moments. Now, of course, I'm sure there's lots of folks in here who make time for a good Hallmark movie, and you go for it. Certainly, we need to watch Charlie Brown, maybe. But if I'm honest with you, the Advent season is one of the busiest seasons for pastors. And I, in my family, I have two December birthdays, the 6th and the 13th. Plus, of course, the sweet baby Jesus has to be born. So when I need a good seasonal reminder, I watch a video series called Company is Coming. It's just people pretending to be moms in a full-on panic right before someone comes over. These are some favorite lines of mine. Everyone get down here immediately. I need this place to look spotless. Get rid of the chairs. No one can know that we sit. If you haven't made the bed already, just throw it away. The last line of the video that sticks with me forever is, the person is fluffing these pillows, saying, I need these pillows fluffed like a bag of microwave popcorn after 3 full minutes. I only laugh and I only love this series because game recognizes game. That is me. One time when our roommate in seminary came home and I was scrubbing the floor in a detailed manner, he said, oh, are people coming over? No, Corey, I'm just stressed, okay? I like knowing when to expect a guest. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I like knowing when to expect a guest, and I'm guessing you probably do too. I like being able to be prepared. I would certainly like to at least address the sock bin, which remains filled with unmatched socks. I would like to see it conquered a little bit before then, which is why when our scripture today informs us that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is planning on returning at a later time unknown, it makes me a little queasy. Our Prince of Peace and our King of Kings has said he's not quite done with the work of healing and making all things new, so someday he'll be back. Sometime. According to Jesus himself, we are supposed to live our lives with this perpetual knowledge that any day we wake up in the morning could be the day that Jesus returns. Now, I don't know about you, but that gives me equal measure of excitement and anxiety. Excitement, because the Lord knows we could use a vision of the kingdom on earth right about now. But also anxiety, because how could I possibly always be ready? We still have chairs at my house. Pillows only fluff so much. It sounds exhausting waiting like that. And let's be honest. It's been a couple thousand years, Lord, and it could be thousands more. So I don't know if I can wait that long. The gospel writer says we have to be awake and ready. So what does that mean? How can we be ready? Our Isaiah text from today, it gave us some hints at this question. The prophet Isaiah shares this vision of how the Lord will establish their household on the highest mountain and all the nations will come to the presence of God. They will come to God with the hope of learning. They will come to God with the hope of learning. What do the nations want to do in the presence of God? They want to learn. All of the nations of the world will travail into God's presence to learn God's ways and learn how to walk on God's path. Learn. When they get there, God judges the nations and settles all of their disputes. They come to learn God's ways and to walk in God's paths. Then, this is wild if you really think about it, they beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. I want us to hear that. When the people of every nation come into the presence of God on this, on the holy mountain, and they learn the ways of God, the way they will learn is to beat their weapons into gardening tools. There's someone that Madeline and I have both learned from in the Florida Conference, a pastor, who says, anyone can tear something down. Anyone can complain about it or be cynical or talk about how terrible something is. But the real work is building something new. Demo is always the easiest part of renovations. The real work is the tedious attention and care and skill and reimagining that it takes to dream and replumb, to rewire and rebuild something beautiful. Anyone can start a war. Anyone can take up the tools of violence, whether they are actual weapons or the weapons of our words, our attitudes, our own hatreds. But I want to ask us today, how many of us are willing to do the hard work of tilling the land and planting something that will grow? When Jesus says we have to be ready for the Son of Man to return, my guess is that he doesn't care how fluffy our pillows are or whether our pantries have been recently reorganized and labeled. In fact, that work might be a little easier than what he's pushing us to hear at the end of Matthew's gospel. Being ready is living lives that cultivate God's kingdom here and now. Being prepared for an encounter with God is like the work of gardening in our lives and in our communities. When all the nations come to the mountain of God and they bring their weapons, how else would they be able to melt them into garden tools if they didn't already have them in tow? They are prepared for war against one another, and instead, God sends them back to their land equipped to plant gardens instead. This isn't the only place we actually get this imagery and this instruction from God. Remember Jeremiah's words? Everybody else was telling the people what they wanted to hear, and Jeremiah says, this is what God said. You're going to be here a while. Build houses, plant vineyards. Build gardens. Seek the welfare of the city you find yourself in. When the gospel writer tells us to be ready, they are telling us to get out there and to do the work of cultivation, of planting seeds of mercy and grace and forgiveness and love, seeds of the coming kingdom of God. Our waiting for God to return in this season of Advent and throughout our lives, it's not meant to be passive. It's meant to be an active waiting. It's meant to look a little bit like the exhaustion of Advent, with more worship and acts of generosity like giving gifts and sharing meals and seeing our neighbors not as our adversary, but as our co-laborer in the garden. If that's how we're meant to get ready, forget the pillows. We can do that. We can do that. We've gotten to practice for the last 7 years together sharing a meal here on this campus. Spark has come to help serve with some of our co-op partners like Picnic Project. And Madeline told me that a while back, some folks started calling us that church where we go feed people, which I think is the highest compliment. You all at Spark are practicing every time you pour into this chosen family that you have created for whatever time you have together, planting seeds that will grow unexpectedly throughout your lives. We've already gotten to practice together, and in our communities, this Advent active waiting is our call. You all have already practiced together using plowshares and pruning hooks in anticipation of Christ's kingdom. Now here's our challenge. Our challenge is not to grow weary or complacent while we wait. We've got to keep awake. We've got to be ready. We have to continue to return to the mountain of the Lord to learn that our weapons meant for harm need to be melted into tools for growing. Come, friends, let us walk in the light of the Lord until one day we feast at the heavenly banquet with Jesus and deliver over what we have grown together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.